armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
do
is what you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. I guess I forgot to put myself into the feed today. I do apologize, running around doing a million things. So we are ready to roll.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I do apologize. Some technical difficulties. I realize what just happened, so I will fix it here in a second. We are ready to roll here on a Monday afternoon, and I do apologize. I did not realize that we were not on the stream, so you probably didn't hear a thing that went on a second ago. And I didn't see any alerts or anything. So welcome here to Braves Country HD and Braves Country Today, as we are getting set to bring you another week of Braves Country here on the WQEE 99.1 FM. And I hope everyone can hear us there as well, because it, like I said, I just realized what we did at the very beginning. So let's go ahead and get into Atlanta Braves. Max Fried comes back tonight. That's a big deal, obviously, here in Braves Country, because we've been going without Max Fried for a minute. I mean, it has been, my word, Max Fried goes out there on opening day and we haven't seen him since. It appears that he will be ready to roll there. They haven't officially, but they will here in a little bit, activate him off the IL. And he's going to go up against I keep seeing these articles making a big deal of it. It really isn't a big deal, but he's going up against the team that drafted him. I mean, at this point, he's a Brave. He's a Brave through and through. You know, the trade that brought Max Fried over from San Diego was years ago. You got to remember one of the reasons why San Diego made that trade, because Max Fried, though he was touted as a top prospect, he had Tommy John surgery. So the Braves knew when they made the trade that before he could ever even forget stepping on the mound in the minors, but even start contributing to the major league team, he was going to have to go through Tommy John surgery, repair, the rehabilitation, then work himself up to be where he would be ready to pitch in the major leagues. He was not a major league pitcher when he had the Tommy John surgery. So if you see those articles, they're a little, that's the best way I can put this. I'm not going to say they're full of bull, but basically they are trying to get your attention, to get you to click on there, not quite clickbait, but more of the fact that they're glossing over what really happened in that trade. And essentially in the trade, this was that whole time period where the Braves were tearing the entire franchise down. Right? We sent Craig Kimbrel packing. We sent number of folks packing, the Uptons. All this finally came to fruition, and we went with a youth movement that obviously has paid off for a world championship, as the Atlanta Braves are now that we have the championship in our pocket from 2021. I saw a pretty cool thing this morning that I'm going to try to share with y'all later in the week, but just talking about the history of the Braves franchise going all the way back from from the days in Boston. You know, a lot of people will always point to the Reds as being the oldest franchise, and that's true. But the Braves are the oldest continuing franchise. So the Atlanta Braves started playing baseball, and they haven't stopped. And that's the difference between them and the Reds. The Reds, they were a franchise, then they shut down, and then they came back. And so that's why they get the moniker as the oldest franchise. But the Braves are the longest continuing franchise since 1871. But anyways, it was a really cool documentary that I saw on it. And just kind of talked about the whole history of the Atlanta Braves going back to Boston. And I knew quite a bit of it, but it's still really cool to see it unfold. And when someone pieces it all together and kind of glues it all together, to me, that it gives you more of an appreciation and an understanding. And the guy put it perfectly when he talked about the Braves started in Boston, went to Milwaukee, and now they have finally found a home in Atlanta. And when you think about the fact that the Braves are coming up very close here in a few years, we will be 60 years with the Atlanta Braves. And it's no longer, you know, when I was a kid growing up, the Braves were still looked upon as a relatively new franchise. I didn't know any better because I didn't see the Braves play anywhere else. But when they won the championship in 95, then it really felt like it was our team, that they weren't going to go anywhere. And then, of course, we know the Braves are here to stay at this point. I mean, just in my lifetime, seeing them go from three different, going from Fulton County to Turner Field and now Truist Park, and the money and the resources that they've put in there, obviously the Braves are going nowhere. They are here to stay. And it's just remarkable. I think one of the things that no one ever talks about in the Braves history, and they didn't really touch on it, is the fact that if you look at the fact that there was not a World Series until 1903. Okay, no World Series till 1903. That was the official World Series between Pittsburgh and Boston that started it all in 1903. There was no World Series in 04. That had to do with McGraw and the Giants not wanting to play against the American League because he was holding a grudge. It's a long story on that. Won't get into the weeds on that right now. But then since 1905, you've had the World Series every year, except, of course, the strike short in 94 season. But one of the things that never gets talked about, and I bring it up from time to time, the Braves don't have four World Series, World Championships. The Braves organization has 16. Because when you look at the fact that the NL pennant was won by the Braves organization, twelve times before the World Series ever became a thing. That's a remarkable feat. A remarkable feat. Now, five of the championships, four of the championships were in what they were talking about is the NA pennants. And that's the National Association that came right before the National League, but it's essentially the same organization because they just changed names. Professional baseball changed names several times in the late 1880s into the 1890s, right? So the Braves had four championships before the National League became whole. And then once the National League became whole, they had eight other championships before the World Series began. So if you look at it on what the World Championship is considered, the Braves had 12 world titles before the World Series ever existed. They couldn't be any better. They couldn't beat anybody else. and they won the NL pennant in 1877, 78, 83, 91, 92, 93, 97, and 98. That's dominance. No one ever talks about that because they look upon it as, well, that's not modern day, blah, 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 blah. But those seasons happened, and I guarantee you the players playing at that time thought they were just as important as the guys who got the ring in 2021. So when people talk about the teams with the most world championships, I always stop them and say, it's the Yankees, and then it's the Braves organization. Because everybody glosses over, but the Braves won 12 before there was ever a World Series. So anyways, I found it interesting when you go back and you look at some of the things that went on, and then also just the sheer dominance that the Braves organization had. So they had that time period, right, that I just mentioned. And then they were very good in the just going into the teens of the 20th century, and they won the world championship in 1914. And then there was about a 10 to 15 year stretch in the mid 40s into the late 50s where the Braves were really good. In fact, they won 3 NL pennants and they won the world championship in 57. And then, of course, we all know about the dominance in 1995 or the 1990s, including the 95 World Series championship. But then the other thing on top of that is, okay, so then you kind of capped that off around 2005, right? You could argue that we're in the middle of the next big dynasty of the Atlanta Braves organization, their history. So all in all, when you look at dynasty runs, where you can really hang your hat on it, I would say that essentially, because the championship, the World Series championship and the pennant in 1914, which they were called the Miracle Braves, that was a team that was really good and won the title, but the years around it, you can't really call that any kind of a dynasty era. But obviously in the 1880s and 1890s, that was a dynasty. Obviously in the 90s, with the 14 consecutive division titles in the World Series and all the pennants and everything else that went on, the Cy Youngs, that was a dynasty. And now we're in the middle of another one where this is the fifth year in a row that we've won the division. We won the pennant once. We've won the World Series once. And this team right now, as we speak, has the best record in the National League and the second best record in baseball. And the only team that they trail in Major League Baseball are the Tampa Bay Rays, who got off to that incredibly hot start. And most people are pointing to their really easy schedule. And I get that. It was an easy schedule. I wouldn't even begin to argue with that one way or the other. But even with it being an easy schedule, you still have to win the games in front of you. But if you noticed, or maybe you didn't, over the weekend, they went to Toronto and they dropped 2 of 3. And by no means am I calling Tampa Bay a fraud. Tampa Bay is a very good team. I expected them to be as good as they are. But you can't keep up that pace. So it'll be interesting as we go through the summer. Can the Braves go out and get the best record in baseball? Because if you can go out and get the best record in baseball, then everything's got to come through you. And I think that would be huge, and that would be key, considering the fact that we're going to get in the end of in October, hopefully. And you're going to have to face some teams with some really good home field advantage. But I think the Atlanta Braves have equal to anybody's home field advantage. Everyone went bonkers, made such a big deal about the home field advantage for the Philadelphia Phillies last year. And look, they did. I mean, their home field advantage was phenomenal. But I didn't think it was any more raucous than that 2021 run when Atlanta was, I mean, that place was shaking every single night. And I always felt like that at every single one of those playoff games, especially the night games, one of the things that the Braves get hosed on is that a lot of times when we go to the playoffs, we end up playing a lot of day games, which is total garbage, and it makes me mad every single time I see it. But it ends up being a lot of day games, and that makes a big difference in what your atmosphere is going to be like, unless it is a day game on the weekend. The Braves didn't get that because we didn't play in the first round this year, obviously. The year before when we played Milwaukee, with Milwaukee not being a huge market, every single one of our games was about mid-afternoon. In fact, the game winner that Freddie Freeman had in, what was that game? I believe that was game five or game four. I'm sorry, game four of the wild card series. That came as the sun was starting to set. You can't compare that, but when you got the Braves into the NLCS and they went up against the Dodgers, and those were night games, and then once again the World Series, that place was absolutely rocking. When Adam Duvall hit that home run in what we were hoping at the time was a closeout game in game five of the World Series on a Sunday night in Atlanta, that place was hitting Richter scale type area. And of course, Atlanta's rotation was just being put together with bubblegum wrappers at that point. And to me, it's almost more impressive that you blew that lead at home in a closeout game, had to go on the road, and still went back in the very next game, closed them out, and played a dominant game. But Houston and Atlanta, that series, I felt like both of the playoff atmospheres were absolutely phenomenal. I always feel like that they're always going to give the nod to the northern cities with the bigger population, because it's basically just blowing smoke up their rear ends and telling them how great they are. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're great, that their fan base is any better than anybody else's fan base. They had a really good atmosphere. I do not doubt that one bit. I thought it was cool with the waving of the hankies and everything. It reminded me of the old Minnesota Twins. But nothing beats the chop. Nothing beats when you go to bring in a reliever in the middle of the playoffs and the chop is going, the lights are flashing, everyone's got their cell phones out. You can take the hanky and stick it for all I care, because to me, that's where it's at. All right, let's go ahead and take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit up on the division and get you caught up on what's going on and talk about what we saw this weekend, because there were some things that kind of worry us, but there were some great things that we saw as well. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and 99.1 FM WQEE.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You got to keep on your toes.
You get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. So much, I'm going to have to speed things up. You can get the Farmers Signal app, and that could get you up to 15% off your auto policy. That's just for using the app and driving like the normal speed limit, adhering, full stop, making lane change, signaling human being you are. Get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. Start with a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey, Braves fans. Thank you for listening to Braves Country Baseball. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we are here to bring you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves, bringing you spring training in 2 to 3 games a week all season long. Please like and subscribe today. Braves Country Baseball.
Dread running to the post office? Stamps.com brings post office and UPS services right to your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and get up to 40% off USPS and up to 62% off UPS rates. Nearly 1 million small businesses use Stamps.com to save time and money. It's a no-brainer. So skip the post office and visit Stamps.com.
Sit shark!
I'm not playing, you stupid game!
That's the sound of NyQuil Severe, hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You're listening to WQEE in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m.
You mean to tell me we're going to drive from here to Texarkana, Texas, and back to here in 28 hours?
It's only 900 miles there and 900 miles back.
Well, for your information, that ain't never been done, not no rig.
That's because you and I ain't never done it in no rig. You got to stop thinking so negative, son.
Welcome back, Braves Country. Max Free comes back today, man. I'll tell you what, I'm excited because I really wish we were doing the game. We're going to bring you the game tomorrow night, 9:40, and then 4 o'clock Eastern is the final game of that 3-game series on Wednesday. We're going to bring you both of those games. I wish I was doing the game tonight, but I got to work in the morning, so... It's difficult enough to do the late night game if you have to be at work the next day. It's really rough if you have to do it 2 days in a row. So, but I'm looking forward to Max Fried. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. And I'll tell you something else. We got to beat them, man. They beat the stew out of us here in Atlanta. Now, they had the upper hand, and I think we've got a pretty good matchup. So we'll get into those matchups here in 1 second. But I won't call it embarrassment. Beginning of the season, I never overreact to any series. But you hate losing to any team, especially a team that is being looked upon as a threat in the National League playoffs to come in and win 3 of 4 in your own building. And we just did not get good pitching. Now, looking at what we have going tonight, Weathers has pitched pretty well. I still say that we have the upper hand, Max Fried. I don't care but what anybody says about that. Max Fried is one of the best lefties in all of baseball and one of the better starting pitchers in all of baseball. Tomorrow, it's Spencer Strider versus Blake Snell. I definitely think we have the upper hand on there. But the one thing about Strider, and obviously we'll get more into that one tomorrow, he's got to make sure that he is more economical with his pitches. We've got to stop seeing 22, 23 pitches out of the first inning. Get out of the second inning and you're up around 50. Get around out of the third inning and you're like 75 and you're trying to find a way to get him into the fifth inning. That nonsense has got to come to an end. Now, one of the issues he's having, it's not just control. It's the fact that I don't know if that's going to ever change long term if he doesn't develop and feel good enough to lean on his three pitches at all times. Because when he gets in trouble, it's fastball, fastball, fastball. And most people aren't catching up with it. That's not the issue. The issue is they're battling him off. They're spraying it all over foul territory. The Mets do it to him at a very good clip. I remember that outing that he had in New York. And, I mean, he was at almost 100 pitches, and we weren't even out of the fourth inning, and they had to come get him. That's the next step he's got to take, is that Strider has got to be the guy that goes out there and goes seven innings deep into almost every contest. Because now we're paying him like he should go that deep. You got to start expecting it at this point. But the Braves tonight with Weathers, and oh, by the way, the Wednesday game, 4:00 Eastern, have that game right here. The Wednesday game right now, it's being projected as Martinez versus Morton. So we've got the upper hand in all three of these matchups. We should win this series. I say it all the time. I never expect a sweep. I'm very happy that we've swept the last two series. That's phenomenal. But you can always expect, you go into a three-game series, especially on the road, one of their pitchers is going to be on. And they're going to be very hard to knock out. And even though we're not getting what I consider their top two pitchers, Yu Darvish, and then, of course, the guy who may be their best pitcher, he's still in the IL, Musgrove. But even with that being said, you're going to go into this, you can't expect a sweep. That's very difficult to do, especially when you have game two and game three, a quick turnaround. Because it'll probably mean that we'll be missing guys out of the lineup. Most likely, that's what we're going to be looking at. But going into tonight's game, and obviously the lineup's not out yet. Lineup won't come out for a few hours. I'll check it before we go off the air, but I seriously doubt that we see it because you're out there on the West Coast. And it's just, it's not likely to be out yet. But when you look at the lineup going into tonight, you have to kind of figure, and oh, by the way, I saw this put up today. They have a thing called F-War. And without getting into the weeds of what it means, it's a statistic that they use in baseball to rank players. Ronald Acuña Jr. has the highest F war of any position player in Major League Baseball so far. And that calculates everything. So that's pretty impressive. And you got to be impressed with the beginning of Matt Olson and his season, Austin Riley, and then how about Sean Murphy finally waking up? It took him a couple of weeks, didn't it? But he has been on fire. We hope to get Travis d'Arnaud back soon. He's eligible to come off that 7-day IL. But it sounded like to me that he wasn't doing any baseball activities over the weekend, so I don't know if they're going to wait to maybe bring him back after the weekend. And something that one of the things that we have to keep an eye on, Travis d'Arnaud, that was his fourth concussion of his career. And I did not realize that until it happened the other night and I looked into it. Four concussions. That's a lot. And what that probably is going to mean is he's going to be used sparingly down the road, meaning to prevent any kind of concussion issues, I don't see him behind the plate as much going forward. I think Murphy's going to catch the bulk of it. If Murphy gets banged up, you're going to bring up Trump. and he'll be behind the plate. I think Travis Darnold, I'm not going to say his days are over behind the plate, but I do believe that he's going to be relegated to once, maybe twice a week behind the plate, and twice is pushing it. And as I'm looking at it right now, it still doesn't look like that he's doing anything in much in terms of baseball activities. So that can be a big, big concern going forward. But all in all, this team's playing really well. And here's some other good news, some really good news. Fernando Tatis has been absolutely killing it in AAA. I mean, he has been on fire. Be serving the 80-game suspension, as we know, for the PEDs. He is not eligible to return until the day after we get the hell out of San Diego. That's Thursday. And they are expecting him to show up on Thursday. But he has been red hot. What day was that? Was that I guess that was yesterday's game. Tatis went 2-for-5 with a home run. Before that, I saw, the day before that, he was 4-for-5, 2 homers and 3 RBI on Saturday. So he's 6-for-10 with 2 home runs, a triple, and that's just over the weekend. He's been on fire. So thankfully, we're going to get out of Dodge before he's able to come back, because that'll be rough. I mean, that is a lineup that's already tough to navigate through. You add Tatis to that lineup, and it gets even deeper and longer. And the great news is we're done with the Padres after Wednesday. So unless we run into in the playoffs, we duck the Fernando Tatis. Looking at the matchups right now, the standings right now, Atlanta Braves lead the East. Obviously, they lead the National League. They're 12-4. The Mets kept pace. We swept the Royals. They swept the A's. Neither one of those outcomes are really all that surprising. I'd say the Royals are probably a step in front of the A's. They're just a little better, but not by much. And if you watch any of that A's-Mets series, I caught the tail end of the game yesterday when it went to extra innings. I flipped over to watch A's Mets, and oh my word, the A's just absolutely fell apart. I'll tell you something else that was strange about it. If you caught any of that, the end of it. So they're in extra innings with New York. Nemo's at the plate, runner on third. And the pitcher that they had in, the lefty, just absolutely dominant, outmatched Nemo. And then they pull him for a righty because the Mets have a couple righties coming up, and this guy can't find the strike zone. And that was one of those situations where a manager outthought himself. And then the A's fell apart in the bottom of the inning. They set down a bunt, and hats off to Robertson, the relief pitcher for the Mets. He jumped off the mound and actually gunned down the force out at third. There was runners on first and second. And they were trying to bunt him over to tie the game. The Mets led by one. Mets ended up winning the game 4-3. But here's something that I'm sure everyone glossed over because the Mets won. It's not a big deal. But if you're a Mets fan and you take it seriously, I guarantee you there's some Mets fans that went bonkers during this scenario. They had the runners, the bases were juiced. Two outs. Righty-lefty matchup. Big boy Vogelbach was at the plate, a 3-1 count, and this pitcher could, I mean, he was throwing the ball all over the place. He's bouncing off the plate. It led to a run. I mean, he was just, it was a disaster. A 3-1 count, another ball gets you another run and gets you some breathing room, because remember, you got the ghost runner in the extra inning, so you have to deal with that. And what ends up happening, he swung wildly out of the zone at ball four and grounded out weakly to second base. Now, I watched a couple of New York shows, listened to a couple of New York shows this morning as I was getting ready for work. No one brought that up. I'm like, dude, that is a problem. This guy was not their number nine hitter. Vogelbach was behind Alonso in the lineup. You're going to be able to get away with that when you're playing the Oakland A's. But I still say, when we get down to the nitty-gritty, and plus the 162-game grind of a Major League Baseball season, I still say what you're going to end up with is the New York Mets offense, their lineup is extremely short. The Braves lineup is extremely long. Do we get crazy and ticked off because Ozuna's not hitting his weight? Yeah. But he's also sitting down there in the eight hole most nights. Do we get ticked off that we can't get any production out of left field? Rosario is batting just under 200. Kevin Pillar's not doing a whole lot. Yeah, it's annoying. But this is the equivalent of having a guy. First of all, Vogelbach is slow too, so anything he hits, he's got to get it out of the infield, because if not, it's going to be an automatic double play with runners on. But when you look at the Mets offense, most nights, Vogelbach is sitting around the fifth and sixth hole. Now, sometimes they move him around, and then obviously he gets benched on lefties. But this is why I said at the beginning of the year, I'm sticking by it. I don't think the Mets are the team that we need to fear as much in that division, because though they do have really good pitching, and they've got really good starting pitching, their bullpen is solid. I'm not going to say it's outstanding. I think it's above average. Without Diaz, it went down a notch or two. But outside of that, the starting pitching is not as deep as the Atlanta Braves. Kodai Senga got touched on the other night, and they won going away. I mean, this is how bad the Oakland A's are. They walked 17 batters. 17 batters on Friday night. What? I think the final score was like 17-6. Can you imagine that snore fest? So not only is the game not competitive, you get guys walking left and right. I meant to check it, but I guarantee you the time of the game had to be pushing 4 hours. Had to have been, even with the pitch clock. But 17 batters they walked. I mean, that's just an embarrassment. And that's a different subject for a different day, but something needs to be done about the fact that the Oakland A's were the third or fourth most profitable franchise in Major League Baseball last year. That's because they didn't spend any money. You can say, well, they're doing really well, you know, with the money they do spend. No, you're not. Now you got 17 guys being walked in a game. So that's a disservice to the fans. And as I watched that game, I was looking into the crowd and I just thought to myself, man, it's such a sad state of affairs, and they're going to end up somewhere else. I would expect Las Vegas. Of course, folks have talked about Montreal as well. I think Nashville ends up getting a expansion team. But it was a fan base that was a rabid fan base for so many years, but the franchise quit spending money, and there's only so much you can ask a fan base to do. You know, before most of our times, early 1970s, the Swingin' A's, as they were called, they won 3 back-to-back-to-back world championships. then when I was a kid, they should have had more than one, but they went to the World Series 3 years in a row winning one. They went in 88, 89, and 90. Of course, 88 was the one where the Dodgers just played out of their mind. They beat the 88 Mets, and honestly, that was a very good team. They should have been in the World Series. The 88 Dodgers, if you've never gone back and looked at that, if it was before your time or whatever, I would really suggest that you do, because that 88 Dodgers team, they just put it all together. Much more miraculous than like the 21 Braves. Because the 88 Dodgers, you could only point to a few guys that you could say would start almost championship teams. And Oral Hershiser was in the middle of his just ridiculousness. 89, they go out and they beat the Giants. It wasn't one of the better Giants teams. And of course, that was the earthquake World Series. So everybody remembers it for that. And then in 1990, another team that just kind of put it together, the Cincinnati Reds, they were huge underdogs against the A's. Enormous underdogs. But they had the Nasty Boys, and they were the first team, I think, in the modern era, when I think of when the game changed, when the game actually changed, and it's obviously changed much more dramatically over the last decade, but when the shift really began, if you go back to that 1990 Reds team, and they had the Nasty Boys with Charlton and Minor and Dibble, essentially what they did was they shortened the game, and they got to the seventh inning, and it was over. That's what the New York Yankees did in the 90s. That was the one thing that I thought the Atlanta Braves never did. Even with the world championship that we won, they never looked at the big picture, which was every year we went into the playoffs. Every year we had the best starting pitching in all of baseball. We had one of the better offenses in all of baseball. So why did we keep losing playoff series after playoff series? It's because the bullpen was average at best. We usually had a really good closer, but to get to that closer was an absolute nightmare at times. It's what happened in 96. They didn't have a deep enough bullpen, and Leyritz hit the home run, and they all came back. The Braves should have smoked the 96 Yankees. In 97, we got beat out by the Marlins, and I would still go back to Greg behind the plate. It was just an absolute disaster that day. And the strike zone that he gave Hernandez compared to the strike zone that he gave Maddox, it was apples and oranges. But you can look at the fact that throughout that entire series, to get to that deciding game, throughout that entire series, the Atlanta Braves bullpen faltered. 98, same thing. The guy wrote the song the other day. Was it Walden? He probably didn't write the song, but released the song, 98 Braves. That game there, year there, we had really good starting pitching. The big three were in their prime, but our bullpen was pedestrian. 99, we couldn't touch the Yankees' bullpen. And so when you look at this year, I know I kind of went down the rabbit hole there, but I tend to do that with the Braves. But anyways, when you look at the 2023 Atlanta Braves, and you see that we're sitting there, what, two games over the Mets right now, and I don't think we've played our best baseball. I don't think it's even close to being playing our best baseball. Max Fried returns tonight. It'll be only a second start of the year, and we're 12-4. And three of those losses are to the Padres. So if you take the Padres series out, that's why I think this is a big series, because I want to see if we're going to get up off the mat and say, let's go. That was a fluke. Let's go. Because we're supposed to have Freed, Strider, and Charlie Morton. Doesn't get much better than that. And oh, by the way, did Kyle Wright not look a lot better yesterday? I thought he looked really good. Not perfect, but he looked really good. And look, he did what you asked your starter to do. He gave us a chance. And he should have had a win. Tonkin gave that up. Hey, how about the big hit by Grissom with Ozzy on second for the go-ahead run in the ninth? Really impressed with Grissom at the plate. Now, what's there to say about his glove? Right now, it's a work in progress. He had two errors on Friday night. We did the game. It should have been three. I don't know what in the world and I get it, it was home cooking in Kansas City, but what in the world was that scorekeeper giving that an infield single? If you missed it, ball was hit to Grissom. It was a routine, should have been a routine 6-3 out. He double clutch and kind of took his time, and Bobby Witt busted it down the line and beat the throw. Now, they only gave him two errors that night, but it should have been three. He had a lot of gaffes this weekend. But he's hitting the ball well, and I would just hope the more and more that he works with Wash. You know, that's one of the things that we probably miss about this whole thing is that Wash is one of the reasons why these guys get so good behind these pitchers defensively. Is because they go out and they work with them. Well, Grissom, though he worked with them, what was it, three times during the offseason, he was not getting an opportunity to work with Wash this whole time. And so now that he's there on a regular basis, I'll be interesting to see. I'm not going to kill Grissom over what he looked like Friday night. What I want to know is, do we see a huge difference between Vaughn Grissom, the shortstop, on Friday, April 14th, compared to Vaughn Grissom, the shortstop, we'll say like around Memorial Day. Because Arcia is going to be out for a hot minute. The fact that they're waiting 2 weeks before they even reevaluate him tells me that he's going to be gone for a while. And when he comes back, the hope would be Grissom is playing so well that they're able to go ahead and take Vaughn Grissom, keep him as the shortstop, and let Arcia do what he was intended to do when they signed him and brought him on, and that is give some other guys a day off. Let Ozzy put his feet up one day. Let Riley take a break. Let Matt Olson take a break. That would be what would be the most. And I'll tell you what, we were talking about Travis d'Arnaud and him behind the plate and how much more he'll be behind the plate because of these concussions. You might see a situation where d'Arnaud is playing first every once in a while. Give Matt Olson a break. Maybe Matt Olson goes in DHs, but you give him a day off. And I know these guys like Riley and Olson are not asking for the day off. Acuna wants to be out there every day. But it's for the betterment, not just for the team, but it's the betterment of for the players to not have them out there every single day, because the more you're injured, the more you're just tired, worn down, the more you have it's more likely that not only that you're not going to play as well when you're able to step up there to the plate because the aches and the pains through a 162-game season, but then also you're more likely to get an actual serious injury because you're worn down. But when everybody comes back for this Braves team is loaded. The bullpen is the best in the division. I think it's the best bullpen in the National League. Best bullpen in baseball, it's close. It's really close. There's three bullpens that I would put right there. And the Braves, I believe, have the best in the National League. The Yankees have a really, really good bullpen. And the Astros have a really good bullpen. Even though Presley is struggling right now, I still like the Astros bullpen top to bottom. And there's a couple other good bullpens. I still think the Mets have a decent bullpen. The Phillies bullpen is a disaster right now. They got to get that figured out. That's one of the things that got Philly as far as they went. It wasn't because they were swinging hankies in the stands. It's because that bullpen was absolutely lights out. And the guys that they leaned on last year, if you've been paying attention to them this year, they're not starting off so hot. And then, of course, they added Craig Kimbrell. And I'd still say that dude has been done for a minute. He's been done for quite some time. But Braves tonight go up against these Padres, and we've got the starting rotation. That's in our advantage in this series. We just laid that out. The Braves have a better bullpen. Now, Josh Hader is a closer, really good. And the Padres, very back end of their bullpen, really good. But the bridge to get them there, sometimes not so much. And as far as offense, right now you got to give the nod to the Padres, but it's close. It's very close. And when guys like Travis d'Arnaud are healthy and when Arcia come back, I wouldn't take anyone's offense over ours. I don't even care that they are getting Tatis back. I know what our guys do in big moments, and I've yet to see Tatis do anything really big in a big moment. Remember, the Padres last year made that run without Tatis because he was suspended for the PEDs. So I still say that the Braves, top to bottom, if we can get health, if we can stay healthy and get to October, I still think that in my book, they're the favorite to win the National League. And I think the National League's a little deeper than the American League top to bottom. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tones is on the way. We're going to get into some NHL. We're going to get into the Stanley Cups. We're going to get into NBA playoffs and touch on some more baseball because I didn't get to nearly enough. The Twins had a big move today. A couple other things happened in the NFL. What about the Eagles and what they did today? We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country today and Braves Country HD wherever you stream. Find us on YouTube today, Braves Country HD. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Major League Baseball for Monday, April 17th. The Atlanta Braves travel to the San Diego Padres. First pitch 9:40 Eastern, the return of Max Fried. He'll be taking on Ryan Weathers in sunny California. At 7:10 Eastern, the Philadelphia Phillies are at the Chicago White Sox. Zach Wheeler versus Lance Lynn. The New York Mets are at the LA Dodgers at 10:10 Eastern. Peterson versus Dustin May. Other games of interest around the diamond on Monday. Giants and Marlins at 6:40. Logan Webb versus Lizardo. Tampa Bay Rays, 14-2 on the year. They're at Cincinnati. Beeks versus Hunter Green. Blue Jays and Astros at 8:10. Gausman head-to-head versus Javier. And the Cubs are at the A's. Wesneski versus Kyle Muller. While the Milwaukee Brewers and Corbin Burns take on the Seattle Mariners in Washington and Chris Flexen. The NBA playoffs round one crawls along. Only two games on the docket tonight. 7:30 Eastern, Nets at 76ers. And at 10, the Warriors at Kings. It's a doubleheader on TNT. And the Stanley Cup playoffs start tonight. 7 Eastern, the Islanders at the Hurricanes. That game is on the deuce. While on the mothership, it's Panthers at Bruins. At 9:30 on ESPN2, Wild at the Stars. 10 o'clock on ESPN, Kings at the Oilers. The Minnesota Twins and right-hander Pablo Lopez, formerly of the Miami Marlins, are finalizing a deal 4 years, $73.5 million. Lopez, 27 years old, was acquired by the Twins in January from the Marlins. It sent Luis Arias to Miami. Lopez is 1-1 with a 1.73 ERA in four starts in a Twins uniform. And the Philadelphia Eagles and quarterback Jalen Hurts have reached an agreement on a five-year, $255 million extension, including $179 million guaranteed. Hurts in the deal is the biggest contract in terms of average annual salary in NFL history. Deshaun Watson's $230 contract signed last year with the Browns is fully guaranteed, still is the biggest in terms of guaranteed money. Jalen Hurts, 24 years old, was an MVP candidate last season, throwing 3,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, while rushing for 760 and 13 scores. One of his best performances came in Super Bowl 58, where he racked up 374 total yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 turnover in Philadelphia's 38-35 loss. His total of 43 touchdowns on the year surpassed Donovan McNabb for the most ever in a single season in franchise history. Miami Hurricane guard Isaiah Wong, the ACC Player of the Year, announced Monday he plans to enter the NBA draft. Wong is ranked as the number 12 point guard in the draft and will forego his remaining college eligibility, ranked number 71 overall, leaving him in the late second round of the draft range. Wong finishes his career at Miami, fourth on the program's career scoring list. Florida Panthers Matthew Tkachuk says he doesn't believe his team is an underdog against the Boston Bruins. Quote, "It's probably more spoiler at this point. I don't even know if underdog is the right phrase for us right now. Going against the talent and everything they've done this year, we have our hands full. We've got to play very, very well, if not perfect, to win a game in this series." The Bruins set the NHL regular season scoring record and win record. 65 wins and 135 points scored, winning the President's Trophy for the league's best record. Jamal Murray, who had to sit from the sidelines to watch the Denver Nuggets past two postseason appearances, finally got back on the court for a Denver playoff victory Sunday night. It was Murray's first playoff game since the bubble tournament of September in 2020. After missing his first five shots Sunday night, Murray settled in and finished with a team-high 24 points as the Nuggets ran away with a 109-80 victory. That's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Stupid interviews. Hey, you're a member of the Buffalo Bills. How does it feel?
Well, it's a blessing. I want to thank God. I'm going to try to do my best. It's a great organization. And I'll say the last 80 guys said. So, yeah.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive Time on WQEE.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
What's shaking, Mr. Peterson?
What is it?
What are you up to, Norm?
My ideal weight if I were 11 feet tall.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, Norm, how's the world been treating you?
Like a baby treats a diaper.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
With a good one in his hand.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback. He's kind of fun and he's kind of bad. The All-American Man.
Welcome back as we await Tones Areola. He's on the way and we're going to talk some NHL playoffs, get into a couple of other things. Real quick on the baseball, I want to make sure hit this up. You see where Pablo Lopez signed a four-year, $73.5 million extension. And why is that significant? Well, Pablo Lopez came from the Marlins. I was surprised when they traded him, but I guess they just didn't feel like they could afford to keep him. So they buy out a couple of years of his arbitration, and that deal is not actually going to start until next year. He has started off well with his ERA is below two. I think he's 1-1 on the year, but you can't always control that part. So you got that going on. Max Fried comes back tonight. The Braves open a 3-game set in San Diego. And of course, Fried was originally drafted by the Padres in 2012. And then he was traded back to, it's hard to believe, he was traded back in 2014. It feels like that was yesterday. But he was traded back in 2014, and he has a 2-0 record and a 2-0 record with a 2.05 ERA in one of his two career shutouts is against the Padres. So that's of note. So we hope he gets it. Has a good game tonight. Starts at 9:40. So hopefully some folks will be able to stay up to catch that game. We're going to bring you game two tomorrow night, Strider on the mound. And game three is the afternoon tilt, 4 p.m. Padres and Braves. That is game three of that series. Charlie Morton will be on the hill for that one. So all in all, I think the Braves have a very good chance of winning this series. If this was a playoff series, I would definitely feel good about it. Braves 12-4, as you see here on the screen. And if we go out and win the series in San Diego, I would feel a lot better about the three of the four of us losing three or four at home versus them. And look, I get it. We sent, I don't want to put the kids down. We sent, I don't want to call them bums or anything like that. We sent some unfinished products to the mound against the Padres. Dylan Dodd got lit up. Schuster. This time around, we're putting our best foot forward in three of our best four pitchers. And it looks like Mike Soroka is getting closer and closer to possibly coming back. I still think we're a few weeks away from that, from even thinking that that's going to be a thing that's true. I still say, you know, I keep seeing these reports where some are predicting at the end of April. We play at the Mets at the end of April. I don't think that's the series that you bring Soroka in for the first time in a long time. I suspect they're going to wait till they're at home sometime in May and try to work them in. Now, the biggest question that I saw out there, and I think it's a valid question, normally I would scoff at something like this, but you consider where the Braves are right now, would they possibly run a six-man rotation? And every time I've heard Anthopoulos talk about a six-man rotation, he almost scoffs at the idea because he talks about how much it can put on your bullpen. That's the biggest concern. Because one of your biggest fears is you go out to run a six-man rotation, and in one turn of that six-man run, you get a couple of guys that don't go very far, and then you have all these other guys that have to step in and make. I mean, can you imagine if a six-man rotation, which means you would have a seven-man bullpen, not an eight-man bullpen? Who do you kick out of that bullpen? It's probably someone like Yates. Because you don't want to get rid of one of the guys that can go long. You don't want to get rid of Dylan Lee and send him down. You don't want to, not to mention Dylan Lee's been so good, but I'm just kind of spitballing here, but Michael Tonkin, I get it. Tonkin gave up the runs yesterday, but the kid has come in and pitched really well. And when you look at him going out there on the mound and can give you 2 to 3 innings, you can't get rid of him. Jesse Chavez, you don't want to move him down, move him anywhere, because you're talking about a guy that routinely over his career, Jesse Chavez goes out there and gives you multiple innings. So I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to wait and see how other things play out. And then when they need a Soroka, they'll bring him up. There's no real reason to rush him up here. Now, I'm sure Soroka's chomping at the bit and he wants to get up here, but there's no reason from the Braves standpoint to rush him up here, because when you have guys out there, we all know who the big four is, and if they're healthy, Fried, Strider, Morton, Kyle Wright. And so then your number five guy, Bryce Elder's pitching really well. Do you really want to rush him off just to bring Soroka because of what he did in 2019? That's a long time ago. The last time he put meaningful innings on the field, no one had a freaking clue what a shutdown or COVID was. So I don't think they're going to go out there and just rush them. I really don't. I think it's going to be a situation where they're going to take their time and he'll eventually make his way back up. And when he does, and look, you never know who else is going to get banged up and going to have to come off the, or go on to the IL. And you got a couple of older pitchers, and then you also have to look at the fact that, is this a situation where they're going to monitor his innings? They don't want him to have a lot of innings up in the big league. And so do they think about making him almost like an opener type situation where he's in your bullpen, but he comes in as an opener once every 6 days, but he's only being asked to go one time through the rotate. One time through the lineup. That's a very real possibility as well. A lot of balls in the air. And then, of course, Jalen Hurts, if you miss that in the NFL, he 5 years, $255 million, $179 guaranteed. All this is going on, and Lamar Jackson is still sitting there about to sign a one-year 32 deal because he won't get an agent. I see Tones jumping in here, so let's go ahead and take a really quick break. When we come back, Tampa Tones will join us, and we're going to hit the ground running. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country HD. You're listening to Braves Country Today on 99.1 FM. It's about 420. Smoke them if you got them. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
There you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
I don't believe what I'm seeing. Where you been all your lives? At an orgy? Listening to Mick Jagger music and bad-mouthing your country, I'll bet. Use your peripheral vision. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, every time I say understand, I want the whole group to say, yes, sir. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know why most of you are here. We're not stupid. Before you get to sell what we teach you over at United Airlines, you got to give the Navy 6 years of your life, sweet pea. Lots of things can happen in 6 years. Another war can come up in 6 years.
Welcome back, and joining us today, as he does every Monday, Mr. Tampa Tones. Tones, how are you, sir?
Going great, brother. Great time of year. We got NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, MLB in the swing of things. Man, I love it. And even though it's a gloomy day out here in Chicago, couple rainouts, couple rain delays in the world of baseball, just always a good feeling when you got all these games on every night like we do right now because of baseball. So I'm doing great, brother.
It is always a gloomy day in Chicago, is it not?
Literally, even when the sun's out, some will make it gloomy, so you're not lying about that.
You got to move, man. That's all I can tell you. You got to get out of there. We got to get you out of there. We got to get you down here, down to God's country. This is... let's go ahead and... I'm going to go ahead and pull this up as you kind of navigate us through it real quick, but... I wanted to start off with the NHL playoffs because we don't talk a lot of NHL basically because we wait for this time of the year, and I'm excited about this. I'm going to actually watch more NHL tonight than I will Major League Baseball. Does that shock you?
It shocks me a little bit, but it is the time of year to do it. So, but you know, this time of year, you do want to at least watch a couple puck drops here and there.
Well, the Braves are on the West Coast, So there's nothing coming on early to catch my attention. Not even, heck, the Mets are playing the Dodgers out west. So both those games are late starts. There's nothing in the NBA that interests me tonight. They're dragging that out. We'll get into that in a minute. But tonight let me pull this up. In the NHL, man, you've got four games. I love the fact that they're starting the ground running and they're going four games a night, every single night. And you're not right. I mean, can you believe this? Tonight there's only two games in the NBA. Two?
Ridiculous.
And I remember a few years back, they said they were going to stop doing that. And then all of a sudden, we're back to it again.
I don't get it. You should always have, at least, you know, the way it shakes out, you should have four on a night, four on at a time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they think NHL opening night, they have four. They don't want to put, whatever the reasoning is, it's not good.
No, it's terrible. Let me go ahead and get this NHL scoreboard up here so we can take a look at it here and see if I can make this a little bigger, so a little easier to see for everybody. So tonight, let me get that. Here we go. All right, tonight, you got a couple of, well, the one that I'm really interested in because of my fandom is Islanders Hurricanes. I'm locking into that one. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to keep an eye on Panthers Bruins. I feel like the Panthers are being led to the slaughter.
I think you're feeling right on that one.
But I'd like to see anyone but the Bruins win just because they're such heavy favorites. The same token, you can turn around and say, well, this might be good for the sport because maybe they go out there and they run through everybody, and then all of a sudden you have a situation where it's looked upon as one of the great teams. Maybe that'll bring eyes to the sport because it is a great sport.
And one interesting thing with that Bruins series, quick, I know a lot of them are feeling under the weather right now, so we'll see if that affects that game at all. I know a lot the Bruins, a lot of their players are dealing with an illness around their locker room right now. So that could come into play.
I don't know where Angel City is, but Julie Ertz just signed a 1-year deal with Angel City Football Club. So that might tell you where Zach Ertz is heading. Does that got anything? Do you know if that has anything to do with an NFL city? Julie Ertz signed a 1-year deal to play soccer. Any idea?
Los Angeles. So maybe.
I mean, that would be my guess, right? City of Angels.
That would be my Angel City Football Club is a National Women's Soccer League expansion that started in 2022, Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
So, yep. So hey, maybe he has two choices now, right? He is a
free agent.
I don't think he is. I thought he was still under contract for one more season with the Arizona Cardinals. And yes, he is. He's still.
Well, you know what though? I mean, that's really not that far away. So.
And at the same token, I could easily see the Cardinals maybe try and dump him off for a draft pick in the next week.
Yeah, possibly. Send him over to the Chargers.
Yep, because they're rebuilding a little bit, or presumably. You know they're not going to trade him to the Rams interdivision.
I wouldn't suspect they would. Before we get back on the NHL, what about D-Hop saying he wants to go to the Bills or the Chiefs? Yeah, everybody does. Who wouldn't want to go to the Bills or Chiefs? What are you, a freaking mental patient?
That's like saying, I wanted to play in the Bulls in the 90s. You know, it's like obvious answer. About?
It's like everybody, of course everybody wants to be an Atlanta Brave. Why wouldn't you want to be an Atlanta Brave?
Hey, they are one of the top teams you'd probably want to play for.
The top team.
The top team and
Correction.
I'd love to play for, honestly, if I could pick two them, I mean, they're one of the top two for sure.
But I mean, for him to say that, it's a dopey comment. But I will say this, I love the fact that it puts more angst in that Cardinal locker room just because Kyler Murray's such a fraud. Kind of like to see that.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing. It'll be interesting to see Arizona, new head coach, Kyler Murray, kind of ousted the old head coach. It'll be interesting to see where their relationship picks up.
I'm not saying DeAndre Hopkins is wrong for wanting to not play for Deshaun Watson and wrong for not wanting to play with Kyler Murray. I'm saying he keeps picking bad places. He has poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wants to go play for the Bills or the Chiefs, did you see that he took down the tweet that said he was talking about not wanting to take a pay cut, and then he took it down real quick?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you're going to go play for one of those teams, you're probably going to have to take a pay cut. Does it become more important to you at this stage for Hopkins to make money or to win games? Mm-hmm. It's really what it comes down to. And he's not wrong for wanting one or the other. Let's get that straight. But if a guy gets to a point in his career and he's made a lot of money, and he's like, I don't want to worry about how much money I'm making this year. I want to win. I want to be in the playoffs. I want to go after a Super Bowl. This is what I wanted to do from since I was a little kid. Then I understand that. But you normally can't do it both.
Mm-hmm.
If you could pay guys anything you wanted to and still win, James Harden would have a ring. He'd be coming off your bench, but he'd have a ring.
That's too funny, but that's the truth. That's the truth.
Out of nowhere, the James Harden zing from the back. All right, let's get back into tonight's action with the NHL. What games have your interest tonight?
I'm really intrigued to see how the Kings-Oilers game spills out. Edmonton is a team. They got some of the top stars in the league, but the Kings are one of those teams where every 5 years or so, they do make a run at the Stanley Cup, and this happens to be one of those seasons. They had a phenomenal year this year. I was a big watcher of the Kings this year, so I'm going to be hoping that they represent out of the Western. Obviously, I'm pulling for the Lightning out of the Eastern, but I'm very interested in that Oilers-Kings. Another one my lock may or may not be involved in is the Stars Wild. The Stars have been really hot of late. The Wild haven't been so much. The Wild have kind of been choking lately. They're notorious for that the past couple of the seasons. It'll be interesting to see if they could get over that Dallas Stars hump or if it'll be another one of those hemming and hawing type postseasons for the Minnesota Wild.
So honest engine talk here.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that the Bruins can be beat?
I don't.
Not this series, because I'm not worried about this series. I really think that they're done. I don't think there's any way that the Panthers can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
But can they be beaten? Because when you look at, and honestly, this thing is not getting enough smoke. The Bruins, they're not getting near enough limelight as I think they should. And I get it that hockey's not as popular as the three major sports. But they're 65-12-5.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can equate that for anybody who follows other sports, man, we're talking about Golden State from 2016 kind of good, the Bulls in the 90s kind of good. If you're talking about basketball, if you're talking about baseball, we're talking about, the Yankees in the late 90s where they were just constantly winning over 100 games. This is a historic season. And I think it's more remarkable in hockey. You know, I don't talk hockey a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But hockey is such a delicate game in the fact that, especially in the regular season, little goofy things can happen. You can be a dominant team and you still lose 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a low scoring sport, right?
Yep.
They're 65-12. with five losses in overtime. So 65-17, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
That's enormous. They're 34-4-3 at home. Woo! And the Panthers are 19-19 away. Something tells me the Bruins are going to be cooking tonight.
I think you're 100% right, McGee. And to allude back to the question of origin, I don't think anyone in the Eastern Conference can really compete with them. I mean, you have the Lightning, who have been to three straight Stanley Cups, but they finish over 35 points behind him. They have a plethora of questions. Is their goalie play going to exceed the limit of expectation that they're supposed to? You have the Maple Leafs, but they choke every postseason. When I look at the broad spectrum of things, I think there is one opponent in the NHL that could give the Bruins a run for their money, not necessarily beat them, but maybe take them to the wire. And I think that'd be the Dallas Stars if they somehow get out of the West. I think led by Jason Robertson and that front group, he had a fantastic season. They got some really good goalie play as well with Jake Oettinger in the net mainly. I think that the Stars could give them a little trouble. They were a very physical team this year, a very fast-paced team. If it becomes Dallas and Boston in the finals, I think Stars are the one team that could give this team trouble.
All right, I'm going to pull up the series prices because I'm very curious about this. I don't even know why I'm looking. I bet it's just ridiculous. Well, what are the prices? The Bruins are a minus 350. That's actually a lot lower than I thought it would be. Bruins are a minus 350 to win that series?
Yeah, I thought it'd be -4 at least.
I guess, you know, I'm not as familiar with hockey betting. So I don't know if that's considered a landslide in hockey.
That is. Well, I mean, what's interesting is the Panthers are one of those teams.
The Avalanche are minus 300 versus the Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're basically saying is it's pretty close. Do you look at the Avalanche being as big of favorites against the Kraken as the Bruins or the Panthers? Because I do not.
I don't think so at all. I think the Kraken had a very good year, an underrated season in the NHL. It's only their second season, and they're already in the playoffs. So I think the Kraken have a lot better of a chance. Not saying they have a great chance, but I think that they'll win at least two games in this series against Colorado. I truly don't see Florida winning a game, and I'm being quite honest. Florida,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm shocked it's that low. I got another question for you, because you're not going to be on here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of two of what I would consider our hockey guys. We have a third one, but he can't make the show, the 3-5 show nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers Devils.
Yep.
Who do you like in that one? Because I'm looking forward to that. I want to watch that series. I don't have a dog in the hunt because I'm an Islanders fan. I hate them both, but I want to watch that series. I think that's going to be a fun series.
I think it's going to be a really fun series. And one of my good buddies, who's actually a Devils guy, told me a couple years ago, watch out for this team down the road. And I'm like, eh, the Devils. And here they are staring the Rangers in the eyes. But I like the Rangers here. I think that they have a really good depth chart. And I think they loaded up at the deadline properly. And that's acquiring Patrick Kane, obviously, is I think that he is still got it. He's a three-time Stanley Cup champion. Anytime you add a guy like that, they got Panarin leading their front line as well. They got one of the best goalies in the game in Shesterkin. I like the Rangers in this series. I think the Devils, their time's going to come in the years to come, but for the present, the Rangers have the better veteran base, and for that reason, I give the series edge to the New York Rangers.
I don't know what I did with it. I can't. I had that Islanders picture hanging behind me forever. I don't know where it is right now. I remember taking it down, but I don't remember what I did with it because I was going to put it back up. But anyways, that's why I was looking all over like a crazy person a second ago.
But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head to ask about that series. That's going to be great. And for those unfamiliar with hockey, but they really only get into it in the playoff time, I am telling you, watch the Rangers goalie very closely, one of the best there is, and you'll be so impressed. Shesterkin is here to stay. He's went toe-to-toe with Vasilevskiy the past couple of years. Really incredible goalie play by the Rangers. That's something to watch for newer hockey fans or playoff-only hockey fans.
I can't tell you one thing about Wild Stars. I don't there's none on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a listener that's a big Stars fan. I'm sure he'll start tweeting about it here probably momentarily. But so the two main series that I'm really focused on is Rangers, Devils, and of course the Islanders at the Hurricanes, which starts tonight at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two favorite series. Which series are you focused on, like, across the board?
Obviously, Maple Leafs Lightning interests me, and this is a third rematch, third time in the past 4 years that these teams are meeting up with one another. So that really gets me going, because the Maple Leafs had a 2 or 3 game lead on the Lightning to jump out of the gate last playoffs. Lightning ended up coming back on him. So to me, that one catches my eye for more reasons than me just being a Lightning fan. But I think a lot of hockey fans will get a joy out of that Lightning series that starts tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern. And if I could pick one more, I like the Islanders Hurricanes a lot too. But since you picked that one, I'm going to go elsewhere. We talked about it briefly already, so I'll continue the chatter with it where we picked off. I like Kings Oilers. I think that series is going to be a close one. I think that a lot of people don't get familiar with Kings and Oilers because of how late the puck drops usually in both of these stadiums. But yeah, I'm telling you, this Kings team, they could bring it. And the Oilers, they have some of the better players in hockey as well. I think this is going to be a ferocious series.
Who do you have in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, my heart or my brain? I think I have
– Your wallet.
My wallet, I'm going with – the Dallas Stars beating, not facing, but beating the Boston Bruins. I think the Bruins get there easily, and I think the Stars, they have a tough path, but if they get there, I think it's more deserving than not, and I think they're going to take it to Boston. Give me Dallas Stars over Boston Bruins in 7.
Wow.
Not 5, no, not 6.
I'm obviously going to take the Bruins. I just don't think anyone's going to stop them. Man, the West. I'm kind of leading Golden Knights. I just don't like the Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. I'll go Avalanche losing to the Bruins.
Always a great choice with MacKinnon.
Yeah, I think the Avalanche are a fun team to watch. I'm so glad that the playoffs are finally here, because this is when it feels like to me that we're in hockey and basketball season.
Yes, this is the prime of it, because baseball's still picking up and you enjoy baseball, but this is the crux of the important games in the NBA and NHL. So many teams make the playoffs in each. The regular season never really feels that special. Well,
plus, their playoffs are marathons. You know, the baseball season with the baseball playoffs, that's a grind. Or baseball postseason, as they like to call it. But what's great about October is that it's over in that month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes at you fast and furious, and they play every day. And that's why October's still the best month. It's still the best playoff month of any sport. It's not even particularly close.
Are you going with Bruins over Avalanche? And I'm about to type it in the chat.
Yeah. Bruins over the Avalanche.
Bruins over Avalanche.
I mean, I'm thinking they might get them in 5 games, but I'll say 6. But when you look at the NBA and the NHL playoffs, NHL does it pretty well, I think. They typically play every other night. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very odd that they don't. Dude, the NBA, they just drag it along. I mean, this is just ridiculous. So you had them all play on Saturday, and you had them all play on Sunday. Let's go. Let's get this fired up. And instead you get Nets and 76ers, Warriors and Kings tonight. Look, what the hell is that about? And then tomorrow night, they'll drag it out. And you got three games tomorrow night with the Hawks back at it. They didn't change cities, and it's 3 days in between games. Same thing with Knicks and Cavaliers.
Yeah, and I looked up the Stanley Cup and NBA playoff final schedules earlier, and it's hilarious because the NBA playoffs tipped off almost a week before the NHL, and the NHL wraps up shop a couple days before the NBA does.
Yeah, it's just because they take forever to get through the first round.
It's ridiculous.
Once you get into like the East, and that's another reason why it's Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals for me on most years with basketball, because I wait till then, because then those series tend to have momentum.
Mm-hmm.
If the Celtics aren't any good, I don't even pay attention until I just read the scores. But the NHL playoffs, to me, they feel like they have momentum. So I get locked in. I usually pick about two series per round because you can't get into more than that. It's too much with the baseball and everything else. And I know I'm going to be locked in to the Islander series. I'm going to pick one more. But what I'll probably have to do is, just because from logical standpoint, and I don't want to stay up so late is the other thing. I would love to stay up late and watch some of these really good series that are going to be out west. But that just all comes down to where you live. So the Islander series, I'm definitely going to watch. And I think it's going to be Rangers Devils will be the other one I watch.
By default, right? Because even me, Central Time, it's like I'd love to watch every single minute of that Kings Oilers series. But when you got to wake up 4 or 5 a.m., you just can't do it with those late puck drops. It's hard, unless that's your team, obviously. You know, if I was a Kings fan, I'd be up through and through. But it's hard to find hours and time for that with
work. I mean, I'm going to be tired enough as it is with the Braves playing out on the West Coast. Baseball. Correct. But, you know, at the end of the night when I'm trying to pay attention to one game as I'm falling asleep, I'm not going to be sitting out here sleeping in the living room with multiple TVs on. What am I, 14, going to have a sleepover? Yeah, it's a Monday, you know. Come on.
Did I fall asleep in B-dubs or am I at my house?
I do want to pay attention to, I'd say the Tuesday slate, I'm going to be much busier because Lightning Maple Leafs, I do like to watch the Lightning play. So Lightning Maple Leafs, Rangers Devils, and then on the other night, I'm just going to follow the Islanders. Bruins are going to smoke the Panthers, which means why watch it? I'd rather put a baseball game on.
And the nice thing about baseball playoffs, you could watch every baseball playoff game almost the way they spread them out. Hockey playoff is tough because you got two games going at the same time pretty much.
Yeah, and you get, to me, you can't watch two hockey games at once like you can watch two baseball games at once because there's no break in the action. So you're on your pins and needles the whole time. Like I might have something else on and look up and see the score, but I'll tell you what hockey needs. Have you seen the MLB Big Inning?
No, what was that?
So MLB has started this thing called Big Inning. They used to call it something else, but it's essentially the red zone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. And it's every night on MLB, the MLB package, mm-hmm. the MLB TV package. And so you tune in. I think it comes on late. That's the only thing that sucks, but it comes on like 9 to 11:30 every night. Mm-hmm. And they'll have multiple games in all the screens going on. And they're taking to the live action. When they first started doing it, I think they used to call it something else, but anyways, it was only Tuesday night and Friday night. And they would just drop in to different games.
Mm-hmm.
This, they finally got it right. They are going, first of all, they're doing it every night. I was like, why the hell weren't you doing this before? And then the other thing is, typically you've got 3 to 4 screens going at the same time.
That is amazing.
So you'll be hearing the audio of, we'll just say, you know, Yankees versus the Blue Jays, but you'll see all the other three games going on. And if one of the other games becomes more intense, they'll flip the audio over there.
I love that. And I have MLB TV, so I'm definitely going to check that out tonight.
When you go on there around 8 o'clock your time,
mm-hmm.
it's on the homepage, and you'll just see MLB Big Inning watch live. And then, of course, you've got your choices to watch all the other games. You're going to watch that and you're going to go, I can't watch anything else. This is like the greatest thing ever. This is like, what the hell am I watching? Like, so now I'm at the point now where I like watch the Braves. If I'm not doing the game, I'm watching the Braves, and then I've got MLB beginning on. And I'm like, I don't need anything else because it keeps me afloat. It's really cool. All right, let's take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you our locks. We're going to try to get this mock draft squeezed in. It's going to be tight. It's a tight one. Got a lot of stuff going on. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country today on Braves Country HD YouTube and 99.1 FM.
Look at me, 92.
Come on, you know, I mean, at the roll at your age,
whoopee,
must be down to a handshake, huh?
Yep, before and after.
Hey, sports fans. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE, The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Shula soon changed sunbathers into flag wavers as Miami earned instant success under his command. In 1970, Shula's first season as coach, a team that had won only three games the year before, won 10 and made the playoffs. In his second season, Miami won 12 and reached the Super Bowl. In 1972, Shula's third year, the Dolphins were literally unstopped, winning 17 straight, including Super Bowl VII.
Armchair.
I feel like I must have fat fingered two clips at the same time. That started off one sound, the other. I looked down. I was like, I don't see any. I don't know. The 2023 remix or whatever junk it is that I'm allowed to play without getting ripped down.
Hey, we're jamming.
I guess. We're going to try to get this mock draft in.
Let's roll, baby.
So where are we at? We're at the number 30 pick.
Yes, sir. We're at the Philadelphia Eagles.
And the Kansas City Chiefs. And you have the Eagles pick.
Mm-hmm.
The number 30 pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. Who is it that they picked earlier in the draft that we've already done?
They picked the outside linebacker or edge rusher, whatever you refer to him as. But the Eagles did take earlier Nolan Smith from Georgia.
Okay. So Nolan Smith of Georgia, and then the pick is in.
It's interesting because when you look at the Eagles, they need some running backs, which I think they address in this draft. Probably not round one, though. You know, Dallas Goedert's getting a little older. They've always liked the two tight end system, so I could see them going that route. But I think they stay consistent and try and rebuild their defense continuously through this draft as they lost a couple key defenders, and one of the reasons why they got there last year is the defense. So we have him going outside linebacker from Georgia earlier in this draft, Nolan Smith, to help revamp the pass rush and run stop game.
Do you like that pick? I don't remember who made that pick.
I like it for them because when you look at it, they got a little bit of a weaker outside linebacker core. I mean, they got Nicholas Morrow, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham. They could add in another one. Surely nowadays in the NFL, you could use more and more bodies. But, McGee, when I look at their depth chart, I notice they only have one middle linebacker right now, N'Kobe Dean. He was supposed to go in round one last year. He fell to round three out of Georgia. People said he's undersized. He only had 13 tackles for the Eagles total last year. So that tells me, huh, they only have one middle linebacker. They didn't play him a lot last year. So as much as I think that Dalton Kincaid, a tight end, or Sam Laporte, a tight end from Iowa or Utah, would be home run picks here, I think that they pivot. I think they look and say, wow, this guy's still available. I have the Eagles selecting middle linebacker out of Iowa, Jack Campbell, at this position, to help bolster their defense, help try and build their defense a little bit. He's rated by many as the best middle linebacker in this draft class, and I think he's going to be their hands-down day-one starter over N'Kobe Dean. I know they like N'Kobe Dean a lot, but I think they like him more as a backup-slash-roamer type instead of a starter, and for that reason, I got them going Jack Campbell, middle linebacker from Iowa, with this pick.
All right. I like that pick. It seems like that the Eagles too. So what kind of, I guess we knew that the move was coming, but now that do we get that news about Jalen Hurts making all that hay?
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, how do you think that might affect their draft needs? Because are they going to have to make some big time moves and release some guys?
And that could be a big, good question as well. And when you look at their depth chart and possible releases, a couple defenders' names might highlight that way. I know they're paying a lot of these guys, sort of like a Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. Those are two older guys that I could see them potentially cutting ties with. Offensively, if they had a cap casualty, I'd probably be looking at the likes of a Boston Scott, veteran running back, even though they just signed him, maybe a Marcus Mariota, and then they draft a rookie quarterback for cheaper. So they're going to have to make some adjustments somewhere. I'm not sure if it'll be restructures or releases, but when you give a guy $51 million a year, you know that money has to come out of somewhere else.
All right. So now on the clock, the Kansas City Chiefs, their pick is in. I've got that pick. And I think first of all, one of the things that jumped out at me when I was doing my research with the Chiefs, they have 10 picks in this draft.
Wow.
So what that means to me more than anything else is you can be a little aggressive, right? And one of the guys that I like for them that I wasn't sure if he was going to fall, Will McDonald, the fourth, out of Iowa State. So we stay in the state of Iowa, but I'm going Will McDonald, the fourth, defensive end out of Iowa State. He has 10 career forced fumbles.
Wow.
And I think that would work in well with, look, the one thing the Chiefs are going to have to do, they're in that division, they're going to have to get after Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
They're in that division, and if assuming they win that division, they're going to have to get after Trevor Lawrence. They're going to have to get after Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, yeah. Will McDonald, defensive end out of Iowa State. I think that's the move.
I think that's a great pick. And a DN out of the Big 12 is big ups too, because they face some fierce competition over there. I think that's a really good pick.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into our locks of the day. And I wish it wasn't a minus 350 because I'd like to take the Bruins to win the series.
I thought I'd seen the jockey lock that.
That seems like chicken dinner right there. I'm going to end up taking that in some kind of a parlay. I don't know what the parlay is going to be. I'm taking this. I'll tell you one thing, though. I got a parlay of the Kings winning the series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's looking good so far. And I took it along with the Knicks.
I like that.
Kings, Knicks, pretty good payout right now. I'm up 1-0 in both of those series.
How about an all Kings, LA Kings, and Sacramento Kings?
You're not going to get me to bet on the LA Kings. I'm not staying up that late to watch that. And, you know, I can only pay attention to like maybe two hockey series at the same time. All right. What is your lock of the day?
Let's stick with the ice. I feel like for locks, I've done tremendous with NHL since the new lock season started. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Dallas Stars to win straight up. Not the puck line, but just to win. They are sitting at minus 147, so you get them right under the minus 150 mark. But Minnesota's been struggling a little bit lately. They've only won two out of the past eight. Dallas has only lost one out of their past seven. And it was a tough one. Give me Dallas here. I like them a lot tonight. And that's at 9:30. So it's a late one, 9:30 Eastern on ESPN2.
Give me the Atlanta Braves minus 142 on the money line. To if you want to get aggressive, they're plus 115 on the run line. But minus 142 on the money line. Max Fried comes back. He has a career 2.05 ERA against the Padres, who originally drafted him. He's 2-0 lifetime against him. One of his two career shutouts is against the Padres. And he's back, and he's going up against Ryan Weathers. Give me Max Fried. Bucket, Dano.
I like that a lot, and my fantasy team is rooting for that to be a great story. I love Max Fried. I can't wait to watch him tonight.
Yeah, it's been long overdue. Man, when he walked out of the game a few weeks ago, I thought he was just going to be gone for a little bit. I was like, ah. Most people thought that he wouldn't even miss a start. Next thing I know, like, uh-oh, here comes the IL.
Mm-hmm.
I still wonder if he would have went to the IL if this was late September, right?
He probably would have ended pushing through it.
How are your fantasy teams doing?
I'm second place in one of them and middle of the pack in one of them and first place in one of them. So early on, I'm holding my own in a couple of them. And then our best ball league, my team's actually doing pretty good. So I'm holding my own early on.
Cool. I'm the eight teams that I'm like paying the most attention to that are, I'd say my eight serious teams, two of them that all y'all are in.
Mm-hmm.
They are 16-0. So,
wow.
Good start, but I doubt it's going to stay that way. We got a jam. No time for walk-offs as we're ticking up to the 5 o'clock hour. I talked too long. Stay tuned here on WQEE. We will see you manana for the show 3 to 5 and the game at 9:40.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me a
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.